Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 255 to close at 23,836. It's another record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Whenever there's a record high close for the Dow, we have a celebration here at the Money Radio Megaplex in beautiful uptown Scottsdale. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. I am separated from them. They're in the control room. I'm in the talk studio. There is a glass partition between us. The usual suspects come in. Doreen, Renee, Chris, Wes, James, wearing his Dow 24K cap. No, James, it's too early. Don't do it, James. Getting a little ahead of yourself there. Marcus and Kevin also joining in, and the ubiquitous Crespin joining us from our sister station. They light the candles, and we have the celebratory theme music from the Money Radio Harmonic Orchestra. They play the theme, and everybody prepares to march down the hallway. And there they go. Doreen is leading the way today, yeah. There are cookies and milk waiting for them in the Money Radio Bistro, also known as the break room. No, I'm not sure. I think they're like leftover from Thanksgiving or something. I don't know. Anyway, record high. We celebrate with milk and cookies. It's semi-wholesome. Dow up 255, S&P 500 up 25 to finish at 2,627. That's a record. NASDAQ up 33 at 6,912. That is a record. Russell 2000, small and mid caps up 23 at 1,536. Another record high. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 2.34%. Oil down 36 cents at $57.75. Gold down 60 cents at $12.94.40 per ounce. The big push to record highs came in the final 2 hours of trade as the Senate Budget Committee passed the tax cut bill. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act now moves to the full Senate for debate and a possible vote maybe as early as Thursday. The 12-11 party line vote came after Republican leaders addressed objections raised by GOP committee members who threatened to block it. Just one GOP senator on the panel would have had the power to block the bill given the majority's one-vote margin in committee. GOP committee member Bob Corker of Tennessee said he reached an agreement with Senate tax writers on a broad outline for a revenue trigger provision that he and other GOP senators are seeking. He has sought a backstop that would create automatic tax increases if the tax bill doesn't spur strong economic growth as Republicans have promised. Meanwhile, Senator Ron Johnson, a Wisconsin Republican, pushed to change the way pass-through businesses would be treated by increasing a proposed 17.4% deduction for pass-through business income to at least 20%. Johnson would pay for the heftier tax break by eliminating the corporate deduction for state and local taxes. Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was swayed by a provision that opens up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. Well, here's the problem with the compromises required to push the bill out of committee. By making the plan more generous to the wealthy by doing more for pass-throughs, this would also add to the deficit, which would then trigger the tax increases. The tax hike trigger is supposed to appease Republican deficit hawks, notably Senators Corker and Flake, but looking beyond the quick patch, they still have to sell the plan to the public, which thinks the whole idea is a big giveaway for corporations. To win over middle-class voters, they offer a short-term tax cut, and because they know that the tax cuts will bust the deficit, the individual tax cuts will expire in 2025 and taxes on the middle class will go up. The whole point of backloading the losses onto the middle class later is to prevent the permanent corporate tax cuts from ballooning the long-term deficit. As of now, how this tax hike trigger would work and whose taxes would go up are unspecified. Three guesses. For all of this to go through, consider the most likely way it would happen. The deficit hawks would have to accept a plan that, on paper, does balloon the deficit in the short term on the basis of triggers that allow them to claim tax hikes will kick in if growth doesn't offset that. Either these triggers remain unspecified or Republicans will be declaring that some specific groups may be hit with tax hikes later. Meanwhile, to make conservatives happy, the plan would have to include still more benefits for the rich under the guise of mainly helping small businesses. It looks like a few senators managed to add a few gimmicks to justify letting those who have argued that they don't believe in increasing the deficit to actually vote for a bill which does exactly that. More broadly, the lesson is that it's hard to take an inherently flawed concept like a large regressive tax cut enacted at a time of low unemployment, rising interest rates, and high debt, and then tack on extra provisions that make it workable. The best solution is for Congress to actually manage the budget in a responsible way, enacting stimulus if the economy is in recession, but aiming for deficit-neutral tax reform. But GOP senators are also facing intense pressure to get to yes on the bill rather than leaving town without some sort of signature 2017 legislative accomplishment. So the old trigger idea is making a comeback despite significant conceptual flaws. Sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Republican leaders conceded that they have yet to round up the votes needed for passage in the Senate, where they hold a narrow 52-48 majority. Best estimates are that there are 8 Republican senators that could kill the tax plan. 2 of them are from Arizona. As the tax fight played out, a new battle opened up on another front as Democrats canceled a White House meeting with Trump to discuss spending, immigration, and other issues, after Trump said on Twitter that he didn't think a deal was likely. Lawmakers must renew government funding before it expires on December 8th or risk a shutdown. Now, earlier in the day came word North Korea fired an intercontinental ballistic missile for the first time in 4 months. The missile flew east for about 53 minutes before landing off the north of Honshu, Japan's largest island, nearly 600 miles from the launch site. The missile was fired high into the air, reaching a maximum altitude of around 2,800 miles in an arc similar to the North's 2 previous intercontinental ballistic missiles, which were launched in July. The distance traveled appeared to be significantly greater than that of the 2 previous ICBMs. It's estimated the missile has a range now of about 8,000 miles, able to reach anywhere in the continental U.S., although they'd probably have to develop their missiles even more before they could reliably deliver nuclear-armed weapons such distance. Washington is applying what it calls maximum pressure and sanctions to stop North Korea from reaching the stage where it would be able to deliver a nuclear warhead on its ICBMs. Jerome Powell, Trump's pick to be chairman of the Federal Reserve, told senators at his confirmation hearing today that he believes some bank regulations can be rolled back, something the administration and Wall Street favor. But he stressed that he will protect the central bank's political independence, calling it vital to the Fed's role. Powell also strongly hinted in his appearance before the Senate Banking Committee that the Fed would hike rates again in December. Powell said he believed that the Dodd-Frank Act passed in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, the law had imposed unnecessary burdens on small banks, but the law had succeeded in making the financial system stronger, including ensuring that no major institution now is too big to fail, which is a little strange because loose regulation did not prevent the meltdown in 2008, and the big banks are even bigger now. The National Retail Federation reports that 174 million U.S. shoppers made purchases over the Thanksgiving weekend and Cyber Monday, beating expectations and signaling a strong start to the holiday quarter. The NRF, which had estimated about 164 million shoppers, attributed the even stronger turnout to better technology and discounting, also low unemployment, rising consumer confidence, and good weather across much of the country. Shoppers, on average, spent $335.47 over the five-day period, with older millennials spending the most at $419.52 each. Online shopping rose sharply this year, with Cyber Monday becoming the largest online sales day in history at $6.6 billion. Sales on Thanksgiving and Black Friday also topped prior years, and e-commerce leader Amazon.com said it broke sales records this weekend. Not just Amazon, many traditional brick-and-mortar retailers also bulked up their online operations. The NRF said retailers' investments in technology had paid off, noting that internet-only shoppers totaled more than 58 million during the five-day period. Over 64 million shopped both online and in-store, and about 51 million spent only in brick-and-mortar stores. Bitcoin hit an all-time high above 10,000 on some smaller exchanges and digital currency indexes, but remained just below that milestone in major trading platforms. Still, Bitcoin has gained more than 900% so far this year. The Arby's restaurant group buying Buffalo Wild Wings, paying $157 in cash for each of the more than 15 million outstanding shares. Total value of the agreement swells to about $2.9 billion after Wild Wings debt is included. Arby's is controlled by the private equity firm Rourke Capital Group, which says it'll be taking Buffalo Wild Wings private and continue to operate it as a private brand. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 255 to close at 23,836. It's a record. S&P 500 up 25 at 2627, a record. NASDAQ up 33 at 6,912, also a record. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.